You turn with me this morning to our text. Our text will be found in Romans 8, 6. Romans 8, 6. Romans 8, 6 reads this way, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how glorious Thou art. How perfect Thou art, and how holy Thou art. How worthy Thou art, worthy to be praised. Worthy, Lord, of all acceptation. O Lord, may You work in our hearts this day and this hour. O Lord, may You show us indeed and reveal by the power of Thee what is a carnal mind and what is a spiritual mind. O Lord, may You differentiate between the two. May there be no mixture in Thy word, and may You settle Thy word in our souls. May You bring us, Lord, to depend upon Thee, to look to Thee, to pray unto Thee, to trust in Thee for our everything, our life. May You hide us in Thee, O Lord, in the cleft of the rock. May You reveal that life is in Thee and Thee alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last time I was up here, I preached from the passage, "What is Truth?" And we talked about truth being in Christ and Christ being the revelation of truth. And as we examined some passages then, I asked you then at the end of that message if you believe those things that were written were true. I ask you that same question today as we come to the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. We love chapter 8 because of the way it ends, because of the great testimony, and the way it begins for that matter, about what we have in our eternal vital union with Christ. But right here in verse 6, Paul makes this statement, and the power of the Holy Ghost makes it. And I wonder for you this morning if it's true. Do you really look at things that way? Has the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to you that being carnally minded is death? Truly, carnally minded, and we're going to define that here in a minute, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And as the Lord brings that truth to your soul, I know, speaking from myself, there's a lot of conviction. A lot of conviction in what, when the Lord reveals what truly carnality is, what a carnal mind is. And when you stop, when the Holy Spirit reveals what a carnal mind is in light of the Scriptures, the child of God is brought to see that that's where his mind is almost 24 hours of the day. That we are so caught up with what we think is life down here and what the Bible defines as a carnal mind. I know that I want to tell you what that means first. Carnal means pertaining to the flesh, sensual. Now I want you to think about that a minute, that the carnality means sensuality. What does that mean? Well, it means your five senses. It means that in this life, you know, the five senses, which is taste and smell and hearing and seeing and touching. Paul said to have that mind is death. To have all of the things that you touch, the things that you smell that bring these thoughts to your mind, the things that you hear, the things that you see with our own eyes, what we hear with our ears, what we take part of in this life, for the child of God, these things prove to be death. To be carnally minded, to have our mind after the senses that we have. If that's all we have, that the things that we see and the things that we touch and the things that we hear and the things that we smell and all of these things that we have and we see and all of these things, is that what makes up your life? And if it does, if you find any conviction, if the Holy Spirit takes that word and says to you, defines what carnality is today, if you have any sorrow, any thought that, yes, this is true, how much time my mind is caught up on carnal things. The question is, has the Holy Ghost proved to you that that is death? Because there's a comparison here. That those things that we see, and whatever they are, it could be family relations, it could be politics, it could be sports, it could be whatever our mind, whatever we're set upon every day. As soon as we hear a report or see something and our mind gets off on sorrow or worry or concern or lust, when we see a commercial or something of something we have to have, we see it, we hear people talking about things, we want those things, we desire those things. The question is, what Paul says here, if you have that mind, has the Lord revealed to you that that is death? And he only does that when he puts it in comparison, as Paul says today, to what is life and what is peace. And that is to be spiritually minded. He wrote in another place, we have the mind of Christ. You can't tell me in here that we have the mind of Christ when we're partaking and we're walking after the carnal mind. But the child of God, that's what separates him from the world. The world is nothing but carnal. The people in this world are nothing but carnal. They live day after day to satisfy the flesh. And those senses that we named, the taste, the smell, the hear, the seeing, the touching, that's according to the flesh. The Lord told us to not take any thought for the morrow. He tells us that he clothes the birds. He tells us that he raised the lilies in the field. And we don't believe it. Because what we see and what we think and our fears take us to the carnal mind, which tells us not to trust God. It tells us not to rest. It tells us to fret. That's what I ask you this morning as you sit there. Has that been revealed to you as death? Because if it has, the only one who has revealed that to you is the triune Lord. You're not going to get that in this world. This world and the message of this world is always to walk according to what you feel, what you see, what you hear, what you reason in your mind. I wonder sometimes when I think and I pray about my heart, and I know what the Word of God says about it. It's desperately wicked. And I don't know if that's been proved to you. Is it desperately wicked? Is it desperate? And who can know the depths of the carnal mind and the carnal heart and how it lusts after things? Have you been revealed that, this struggle in you? That there is a carnality, but there is a greater spirituality. That's what the Lord gives His people in victory. We're going to look at that today. But let's just back up to verse 5 for a minute as we take this little section. Paul says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And that's, I can't add anything to that. I mean, that's a definition.
don't try to justify your flesh by saying, this is the way God made me. Don't try to justify the things that we do because we say, well, God wouldn't have gave it to us if He didn't want us to do it. The Word of God says when we walk after the flesh and our mind is that way, we're going to mind the things of the flesh, those sensual things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's a division there. And that's what I hope you see in these three or four verses. There's no mixture. There's no mixture of the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And that's the easiest thing for the child of God as we listen to man explain things away in this life. We hear him explain why he's not guilty. We always hear that, don't we? This is why he's not guilty. This is why he's not guilty. The Lord says we're all guilty before him. All have sinned. All of us. But yet we take and we listen and we hear about how, and when we hear those things, we start to entertain them in ourselves and say, that's right, I'm not guilty because I wouldn't have thought that had this not been there. Or had this person not treated me this way, I wouldn't have treated them that way. So I'm not guilty. But we can't get away from what Paul just said. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, this is that division, the carnal mind is enmity. It hates God. It is an enemy of God. That's what that means. The carnal mind will always be against God. Against the revelation of what Christ has done. Against the finished work of Christ. Your carnal mind will always be against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. It will not follow the law of God. It will not, all you say, Lord, to do, we will do. It won't do it. Neither indeed can be. It will never be reformed. The carnal mind is death. That's what Paul is writing this morning. I hope that's what you understand today and that the Holy Spirit comes and searches your heart and reveals to you the difference. What is a carnal mind? And we can't point the finger of the people in the world and go, oh, those murderous thoughts they're having and all these people who run after the things of this world. Such were some of you. What is it? And that's the question this morning. So we have in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh or walking after the flesh cannot please God. Not at all. There's no mixture. Hold your finger here and turn with me over to Philippians 3. 3, I think. Yes. The end of Philippians 3. Now look at verse 17. Paul has just written, and in the middle of this letter, well, I don't want to call it the middle, it's kind of toward the end. He had just got done telling them about winning Christ, and everything in his life was dung compared to Christ. Then he tells them in 9, he desires to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that he may know him, the power of his resurrection, how Paul is not attained because of the spot of the flesh, because of the what we have in this life, this warfare that we have. But look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. That's what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about following him in his carnality. Following him is, I'm a tent maker, you all should be tent makers. No. Be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have for us an example. How often do you, and I don't know, I mean, I hope that there are people of God that you see Christ working in them. I hope that there's a testimony of people of God in this room that others can look at, younger, older, whatever, and say, that's the work of Christ in them. That's what Paul said. If you see the work of Christ, follow that. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, what is an enemy of the cross of Christ? I mean, just think about what took place on the cross. What took place when Jesus said, it is finished. That Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That Jesus came and finished everything for them. But there's enemies to that, Paul said. I've just written this letter to you telling you how I rest in the finished work of Christ. But there are enemies to that. Whose end? What is the end of an enemy of the cross of Christ? What is the end of that person? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Now that doesn't mean, that's that sensuality again. That's that walking after the flesh. That means their self is what their God is. And I ask you today, as we came to our text, as the text asked us, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Has that been proved out in your life? Do you understand that no matter what the carnal situation is, no matter if it's with our children, whether it's with others that we walk in, do those things, has the Lord proven to you that those things are death compared to the mind that He gives you of His Son? Is there a comparison there? Paul writes about that here, and he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What is it to be carnally minded? To mind earthly things. And I'm telling you, I understand that plight. I understand that we live on this earth, and we have all these things given to us on this earth. And all these things that could take up our time and take up our mind and take up all these things. I get it. I'm down here too. I realize it. I mean, you realize it. We all have carnality in front of us 24/7. But your mind, do you find that it rests totally, always, on carnal things? Has it ever been taken and raptured away from from this world? Paul said, I was taken to the third heaven. Have you ever been taken there to see life and peace is in Christ? Not in the things of this world. That's what I'm saying. You can find life and you can find peace in all the carnal things of this world, but that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the life of Christ in the soul. It's a big difference. There's a great gulf fixed between the two. We have for us in the Word of God many examples. When you look at Ananias and Sapphira, you see the two that came and lied to the Holy Ghost. But if you look on face value, if you're like me, you look and you say, well, what did they do? They came and they gave a portion. They kept back something for themselves. You might be like, and sit there and go, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with keeping back a portion for yourself? Don't they have to have something too? Isn't that what the world teaches us every day? Isn't that the way of the world to make sure you take care of yourself? But Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. That's a lie. It's a lie for you to sit and tell God that you can provide for yourself. That you have a better way of salvation than what He has provided. And what was the end of those two? Death. That's what Paul just wrote. The destruction. The god of their belly is what's in this life. And I can't let go of the things in this life. And you and I aren't going to let go of those things until the life of Christ floods our soul. And that's what I hope when you walk out of here today, you realize what dire need you have of this Savior to save you from the clutches of death. And as I was reading this week, I shared this with my children. Francis Covell, a minister back in the 1800s, and he was speaking about salvation. And I've said it many times, but to see someone write this, it just ministered to me about salvation. He said, you know, the Lord revealed salvation to me when I was born again. But I have to have salvation revealed to me many times. Many times. All daily I need to know. I need to know that Jesus died for my sins. Why? Because I am carnal. Paul said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's a part of me that's carnal, that's worthy of death. That's what I want. I wonder if you know the direness of the situation, or you're sitting there going, well, it's really not that bad. I'm really not that bad. Your carnal nature is horrible. It is death. And I hope the Lord reveals that to you today. Then we have the rich young ruler. We have the one that came to Jesus and he said, look at all these things I've done. And we all look at those things and go, that's good. You've kept that commandment. You've kept that one. That's very good. But what was it that he couldn't keep? He could not separate his carnal mind, which he cared for all of the things that he had. His carnality. He cannot overcome the carnality that is in him. And no man can. No man. When left to ourselves, we will always, always pick what will satisfy our flesh and those senses that I mentioned. And then we have, of course, we have the rich man in the barn. Two parables the Lord gave us. The rich man in the barns. Just every day, just lived one day. Well, look at all that I got. Oh, man, I've got even more now. What am I going to do? What am I going to do that I have more now? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make more barns. I'm going to pull these down and I'm going to have just more carnal one day after another day of living in this life. This is what's important. I will make bigger barns. What did the Lord say to him? Thou fool. The end of that man is destruction. The end of the carnal mind, if left there, is destruction. Listen to how the carnal mind works. Well, I've got more. I need more. I get more. And more isn't ever going to be enough. Because after he built those barns, if the Lord allowed him to live longer and he got more, he'd build more barns. Because that's the way our mind works. Does your mind work that way? Is that your carnal mind that fallen, or are you not that bad off? And what about the other one, the other rich man? There was a great gulf fixed between him and Lazarus, the poor beggar. And he said, but, you know, in his life, he had everything. He had everything he wanted. He fared sumptuously. Then he gets in that place and he says, wait a minute. Maybe I can't get out of here, but what about my family? What about going back and telling them? What about warning them? What is the end? Has that been revealed to you that the end of that carnal mind, if we serve that carnal mind, the end of that mind is death. And experientially, that means how you live today, in this life, if you walk in this life, do you experience death that way? That the Lord reveals to you that that is death. I mean, there are times I'll hear something, and we'll just take, you know, in this nation today, it ain't hard to pick anything out. The lies, the deceit, the bickering, all that stuff, and it just, Is that life to you? You sit there and listen to that stuff and you sit there reasoning in your mind, oh, if this happened or if this happens, is that life? No, it's death. The carnal mind, that's what it has. That's, it just relishes in death and death and death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Has the Lord ever compared in your soul the temporal things with the eternal things? Has He ever revealed to you those things in this life that are really important? James said in James 4:4, I've read this before, very powerful, powerful verse. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. You say, well, that's not me. That's for those who have left their first love. That's for those who walk after the flesh. Say, oh, no, 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 no. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm not talking about your new nature. I hope you understand the wickedness of your old nature. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I don't care how you slice it up. The Bible is explicit. You've heard it. Love not the world. You've heard the enmity. It's enmity against the Lord. This world is. And we try to justify fitting in with this world. Well, I can't be harmed by these things. Oh, I still know who the Lord is. Or I got this and I can do that. Listen, it does not change the fact that this world hates your Lord. Now, if the Lord has revealed Himself to you as your Savior, that He has saved you from sin and certain death, I tell you right now, you are not going to want to spend time with that world. You are not going to say, oh world, I want you to get close to me because I'm saved by this one over here. The two just don't mix. And they don't in the Scriptures too. The world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I didn't make that up. That's the Holy Spirit revealing that to James, that he wrote that whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In the parable of the sower of the seed, Jesus said in Matthew 13:22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know what another word for unfruitful is? Dead. Death. That's what happens when the wicked one comes in and we say, oh yes, I'm going to entertain those thoughts. I'm going to chase the way. Yes, I know. Yes, this world has. It's death. Has it been revealed death to you? As I said, has the Lord revealed to you that there is a difference between the two? Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. Now that's a horrible place to be. That's what you have. You have everything, what you see in the heavens and what you see on earth. That's what you have. And Isaiah, it was revealed to him, you dwell therein, if that's where your life is, you shall surely die. But, that's the rest of this verse, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. What is the remedy for this carnal mind? It's the salvation in Christ and being clothed in His righteousness. and having his righteousness imputed to the child of God to live upon the merits of Christ, what Christ has done.
Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's begin in verse 15.
For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and it does every day because of sin, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now we're transitioning into the other part. The carnal mind is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. What a difference between what the carnal mind leads to. And that's the question. Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you today that that's where the carnal mind leads you? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul calls it a light affliction. Some of you in here might take issue with that. You might say, well, some of the afflictions I've had haven't been light. Well, they have in comparison to what our Lord went first in. That is what it is. It is a light affliction because of what the Lord has designed in it for our soul. It's in comparison to eternal life in our soul. What price is it to pay? Affliction that the Lord has given us and your soul living forever. See that? That's what he's saying. For our light, but for what worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. But we do look at those things. But that's where death is. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How do we see them? How do we understand to be spiritually minded is life and peace? Well, turn with me now to Romans 5. We're going to jump around here a little bit, but hopefully we understand. Hopefully the Holy Spirit says to us now, what is this struggle that we have? I hope as you sit there and as you're reading this morning that you can identify with me and say, yes, the Lord has brought me here. He has showed me these things. Look, start in Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. How is it that we see the eternal things? By faith. There's no other way. You're not going to reason it. You're not going to live above your carnal mind. You're not going to mortify your carnal mind because you're not going to do it. But faith reveals what Christ has done. Faith lays hold of what Christ has done. We're justified by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? That's through Christ. It's what he's done. That's where our peace is. That's what we had to get to this part. But to be spiritually minded, what does the Holy Spirit reveal? The things of this world? The Holy Spirit reveals here, go there in this day, do this in this life? No, he reveals Christ. He takes the things of me, Jesus said, and he will reveal them to you. He's a triune God. He is one of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is God. So that's what we have for us. He reveals that we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Same verse 2. Also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I know the first part of this message, you sat there and go, that's not a lot to joy in. You're right. I hope you see there's no joy in the carnal mind. There's no joy in the things of this world. There's no joy in the temporal part. There's carnal joy. But what does your soul need? I can't answer that for you today. I don't know if you have a desire and a dire need in your soul. We're going to get there in just a minute. Paul says the same thing. But now skip down to 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You hear that? None of us merited salvation. Christ didn't die for those that were holy and just and didn't sin. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of Him. This is where life and peace is. He brings the child of God. Yes, you do have a carnal mind. What can save me from that carnal mind? Christ has. Christ has put away that sin. Christ has justified you by His blood and by His faith. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the victory of faith. That's the victory. That's how Christ has overcome this carnal mind of ours. But has He revealed that to you? Has there been a struggle? Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And I don't know about you, but when the Lord reveals to me the depth of my carnal mind, I believe wrath should be upon that carnal mind. It's at enmity with God. It's against everything of rest. It's at everything against everything that's finished in Christ. It's this warfare that goes on, and this mind keeps telling me, do this, do this, do that. You got to do this. You got to save this. You got to do this. You got to do this. That's death to me. Has it been revealed death to you? Or is that just part of it for you? Yeah, it's just, you know, I argue with myself all the time. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? By His life. That's resurrection life. That's the victory over that carnal mind. That's the victory over that death. Certain death. That the carnal mind, if that's all you are, I told you, the child of God is made up of a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. The rest of the world, nothing but a carnal mind. And their destruction is imminent. Now turn with me over to Romans 7. You know we had to get here because Paul explains it even greater here. And let's just pick up in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. Do you know that? Do you know that the law is spiritual? It's not 10 things written over you. It's not the rule of life if I obey and I do this. The law is spiritual. The Lord uses the law to reveal sin, to reveal what salvation is. This is how great His salvation is. He has saved us from sin. How would we know sin, Paul said? How would I know not to covet if the Lord didn't say, this is coveting, thou shalt not covet? How would I know that? The Lord must reveal that. And He does. The law is spiritual. But Paul said, I'm carnal. See that? Isn't that what we just talked about? There's a carnal man. There's a spiritual man. Paul said, I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. There's a part of me that's carnal. And that's what I said at the beginning of this message. If the Holy Spirit would bring you to the feet of Christ in this hour and reveal to you how often that carnal mind seems to have the upper hand in you. I know, that's what I said. In me, it seems that way, that the carnal mind seems to have dominance in my life. And it does, many times. What can I do? Well, let's follow what Paul said. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. I want to do it. I really do. Why, Paul? Because you've been born again. You've been revealed that life is in Christ. You have a will in you that is bent toward Christ. You have a will that says, I want to serve Christ. We all, if born again from above, have that will. But we can't exercise that will. And I don't mean that for you to walk out here and go, oh, I can't do nothing. No, we have victory through the one who does do it. That's what Paul says here. That do I not, but what I hate, that do I. That's that carnal nature rising up. And that's what I say, has this been revealed to you? Do you have that struggle? Is it really a struggle? I mean, do you hate the things that you do walking after the carnality of your mind? Do you hate them? The only way you're going to hate them is if the Holy Spirit has revealed to you life and peace is somewhere else, and that's in Christ. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is good. It just reveals to me what sin is. The law isn't a bad thing. We need the law. We need the law. We need to see Christ fulfilled the law. But what is that law's purpose in our life? To reveal how far short we have fallen. Our dependency upon Him. Now then, it is no more I that do it. Paul says, wait a minute. But it's not me. Is that really who I am? That's my question for you. Is that who you are? Are you carnal? Are you nothing but carnal? Paul said, I'm not just carnal. But that's not me. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know, do you know this? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my carnal mind, dwells no good thing. And then we hear the beauty of this. For to will is present. That's the seed of Christ. That's the desire that the Lord gives us. That's the life we have in us. There is a will and a desire to do that which is good. Because He's put it there. Because we are born from above. If we be in Christ. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I find it not in myself. I find it not in these members that have sin warring in them or living in them. I find it not in myself. Have you been brought to find it not in yourself? For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Is that your testimony? And if it is your testimony, understand today as the Holy Spirit reveals to you why it is. Why is that? Yes, we do have a part of us that is death. But there is a greater part of us that is life and peace. That's what I'm asking you. Put them in comparison. Do the two ever cross the line? Do you hear Paul ever saying, oh, but I get better. This part of me that hates to do, it's going to get better. No, it never does. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's my warring self. That's me. I have two natures in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after that new nature, after Christ's work. I delight in the law of God. I delight in everything the Lord has done. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Have you felt that captivity to the law of sin which is in my members? That's what I'm saying. Is this foreign to you? Is this struggle what Paul is saying today? Do you think he's crazy? I mean, do you? Or have you felt it? Do you know exactly what he's saying? Because the Lord has revealed to you the same struggle you have in your life. And is it no wonder that Paul is brought, and that's what the child of God, when you see it, what can you do? Are you going to sit and figure it out? That's the carnal man taking over. Paul is brought to the end of himself and he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. That is the wretchedness of me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. How can we ever be delivered from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Christ Jesus. Paul is brought to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ for salvation. What is going to ever save you from the body of this death? And that's Christ and His resurrection, body and soul. May the Lord reveal to us today the depth of this salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation. You say, but wait, we just went through Romans 7 and that was a lot. I felt a lot of condemnation there. Maybe when I was reading that, you felt condemnation upon you when I was reading it. Now, I didn't mean that. That's what the Word of God, that's what the Holy Spirit does. But He says there's no condemnation. What? Is that the joy of the gospel there? There's no, I'm not condemned because I have this warring nature. I have these sinful members. I'm not condemned because of that. No. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice the differentiation again. There is condemnation for walking after the flesh, but not to death. I mean, not to where we're lost or destroyed. The Lord overrules that by the work of the salvation of what the Holy Spirit has revealed to His people. That Christ, by His life, by His death, by His resurrection, by His ascension, has won the victory for you and I today if we be in Christ. And there's no condemnation for them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you understand that freedom today? Do you understand that as we started this message, I know it's very heavy, heavy to hear what the carnal mind is. We like to dismiss those things. We like to make it seem better than it is. Oh, well, we live down here. We have to do these things. Not according to the Scriptures. That's the way the carnal mind is. You can't make it better. You can't reason that it's better just because those are the things we do down here. No, it's death. Because Christ isn't present. The life of Christ isn't there. Turn with me. We're almost finished here. Turn with me. Our last place we'll go. Oh, we're not turning there. I'm sorry. It's 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. I've got that one written down. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. This answers the question, why the Lord has done it this way. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. We cannot trust in self. Self is death. That is the sentence of death. Paul said, I was in death oft. Many times I died daily. Paul, what do you mean? I'm dying to self. May the Lord mortify the members of our flesh that we die to self more and more. As He is pleased to kill that sin that lies within us. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Is that not a complete deliverer there? He has done it. He has done it on before the foundation of the world, being in Him. He has done it on the cross. He has done it in His ascension. He has done it in your life today, I hope. And He will do it in the life to come. He is everything. He has made all provision for His people. The last place we'll go is what He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. I hope you understand that today. That's not from the Lord. If you fear because you've heard about your carnal mind, I understand. I do too. But the Lord has given us a fear of Him, a reverential fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind is when He reveals how He has overcome all things for us. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. That was the part I wanted to get to. Has He abolished death to you? And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember our text? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Lord has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, which is the Lord Jesus. May He bless you today with this understanding as it pleases Him. Dear Heavenly Father, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In Jesus' name I pray.